Hi, everyone. Janelle Stelson here. Thanks for listening to our podcast about Central Pennsylvania. Today, we're talking to a gentleman whose story is shared by hundreds across Central Pennsylvania, the story of the Steelton Steel Plant. After more than a century in operation, the plant is shutting down, leaving more than 500 workers, probably around 550 union workers without jobs, and really shaking the foundation of our entire community. We're going to be hearing firsthand from a longtime employee and union member who not only worked side by side with his son at the mill, but is a key employee of the plant. He's going to be sharing what this closure means for working families, local businesses, and the broader fight to keep American manufacturing alive. This is a conversation about resilience, economic shifts, and the real life consequences of decisions made far beyond our region. I would like to hear more about your background, Don Teets. Welcome. It's really nice to have you with us today.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure. First of all, tell me how you're doing with the shutting down, the closure of the steel plant in Steelton, Cleveland Cliffs. Did you see it coming?
No, it caught us all totally off guard. For the past several years, even the past several months, we were told, just keep producing, keep getting the tons out the door, let us worry about pricing. And literally May 2nd, they informed the union, and 30 minutes later told the membership that they were idling the plant effective June 30th. It was a total shock.
Must have been heartbreaking. Not only do you work there, but again, your son also. So this is the livelihood of two families.
Correct. He's been there. I've been there for almost 20 years. He's been there for almost two. He's got two young kids at home. I have obviously him and my daughter who's just started college last year. It's tough.
Well,
not only that, sorry to jump in there, but not only that, probably 50% or more of the employees that work are all fairly new. They're less than 3 year service. So, I mean, these are a lot of young people that just got their start.
How does that work? Did you have contracts?
Contracts such as with
customers? I don't mean for the plant. I mean, when you are employed there, do you have a contract? Is this busting up contracts?
No. I mean, they're going to supposedly adhere to the contract as it's written. You know, we have a basic labor agreement through 2026 that they're going to follow. But unfortunately, a lot of the protections for like supplemental unemployment and benefits and things like that really only take hold after you have 2 years service.
Okay. Let's go back to the beginning with you and let people get to know you a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Tell me about yourself. Are you a native of this area? Did you come here just to do this job?
No. I was born in Central Pennsylvania, lived here all my life, graduated high school, went in the military after high school, went in the Air Force, learned how to work on electrical systems on aircraft. That's how basically I became an electrician at a steel mill, because apparently that's the same thing. An airplane and a steel mill is pretty much the same thing. started in the mill 2006, got involved with the union probably in 2011, 2012, 2010, somewhere around there. Been pretty much going strong ever since.
Has it been a good job? Provides
great job.
Well for your family?
Great job. Great benefits. Benefits are, second to none with other, you can't get benefits like we have. Pays good. Tough hours. I work primarily day shift. But that mill is three shifts round the clock, sometimes 7 days a week.
Well, I mean, I think one thing we can say to emphasize the importance of these jobs, the town is called Steelton and is, and this is, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the steel plant there is the oldest, most continuously operated steel mill in the entire United States.
Yes, it is. And we hang our hat on that. 1867, I believe.
So you got to be proud about that.
Yeah, it was the first mill built primarily to make steel rails for the railroad industry.
And I imagine those of you who can take lunches in the area, maybe have dinner after work, stop and have a couple of drinks. It's hard to overestimate the importance of this plant to Central Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, you know, back in the day of the mill, most people that worked at the mill lived in Steelton, which isn't the case anymore. But it is a very broad area. We have people come from Northern Dauphin County, you know, York County, you know, Lancaster County. They're coming from all over 30, 45 minutes away, coming to work at that mill, you know.
They're great, you know, important jobs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, what's causing the plant to shut down?
Like I said, our primary product is rail for the railroad industry, class one railroads like Norfolk Southern and CSX. Primarily,
but everybody always talks about how we need rail expansion in this country.
Yeah, we do. But unfortunately, there's foreign competitors out there that are importing rail that is being subsidized by their government, and it's being dumped on our dumped on American shores. There is a tariff in place, but they're just eating the tariff and passing, you know, just dumping the steel to, my opinion was they're doing it to shut us down, but that's just my opinion.
Well, we'll get to costs and maybe the implication of the impact of what tariffs are doing, but it's my understanding after talking to steelworkers in this country, in this area, that U.S. steel is clean steel, which makes, you know, you might bid a project. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the expert on these things, but if somebody's bidding a project, they may be able to get cheaper steel from elsewhere, as you say, is flooding into this area. But the amount of time it takes people working with the steel to actually build the thing that you need to build takes longer because the steel is dirty, not clean. Can you explain the difference between that and the high quality of U.S. steel and why it's important to use it?
Sure. Our steel is actually so-called clean steel. So we melt steel using an electric arc furnace. So it's basically all our steel that we make is made from recycled steel. It's nothing, not like the dirty blast furnaces of the Midwest.
If I could interrupt, explain too, you just said your arc, you have an incredible, this facility where you work that is shutting down has an incredible, what is it? The arc blast furnace?
Yeah, an arc furnace. Yeah. So it's, we use electricity to melt steel. So basically like, you know, see like a little electric shock when you from static electricity, imagine that multiplied by like a billion times. And that's what we melt steel with. We're PP&L's largest customer in the state.
Well, how can you be shutting down?
It's just, if they can't sell the rail, make a profit, that's their point of view. But that's our main product. That's not our only product, but they're willing to shut everything else down for that.
What else do you do there?
There's a company in Bethlehem, Lehigh Heavy Forge. We're their primary customer for what's called ingots. And they use those ingots to forge into a lot of stuff for the Navy, propeller shafts, submarine parts, things like that. And we also make a lot of small amounts of steel for companies like Caterpillar, Arcosa, specialty. It's not a lot of tonnage, but it's specialty stuff that's rolled at our one mill on the plant.
Well, talk to us about the impact of tariffs on your business, on steel, on American steel and steel here in central Pennsylvania.
So the impact for us with tariffs would mainly just be like our supplies. So the things that we get. Now, my personal view is I think there should be some tariffs on certain things like steel, just because of the fact of companies like Nippon in Japan or Japanese steel in general or European steel. Those industries are subsidized by their governments. You know, they have clear policies that, you know, more so protect the worker and over profits, where the United States, it's flipped. You know, all the companies have a fiduciary responsibility to pay the shareholders, you know, not necessarily the employees, not protect the industry. It's all about profits. So I think certain amount of tariffs are important for industries like steel and aluminum. Everything else, I don't know. Like, nobody wants to buy a $3,000 or $4,000 iPhone. I mean, we're not going to make iPhones in this country. It's some things are just going to have to be done elsewhere, but things that we can do in this country, we should be doing.
So steel making is subsidized internationally in some other countries. Is it subsidized here?
I don't believe so. No.
Do you think that would help?
Maybe not. Maybe the subsidized part would just be make sure that if you're gonna use steel in America, make sure it's made in America, especially like on government projects, infrastructure projects, things like that. You know, make sure it's made in America. whether it's made in Steelton or elsewhere, just make sure it's made here. If you're going to use it, especially if taxpayers are paying for it, make sure it's made here.
Well, that makes perfect sense, it would seem. Some argue that tariffs, while we're on the subject, will stimulate domestic production. That certainly doesn't sound like it's happening where you are. It can also increase costs, disrupt supply chains, and hurt businesses, especially those relying on imported goods.
Sure. Like I said, I'm not an expert on the tariff policy. I mean, I just know what I feel about, like, for steel and things like that. What'd you say?
Well, when we're talking about the tariffs, you know, sort of the thumbs up or thumbs down, certainly the goal is to encourage customers to buy domestically produced items. You are domestically producing something that is very basic and very much needed in any number of industries across the United States. How is this, you know, really important steel factory, how is it coming to an end? Is it going to reopen?
We hope so. It is a fairly, yes, we're old, but there's a lot of modern aspects to it. Like our steel making shop is very, very modern, or caster, which is what, how you form the steel. That was built in the early 80s. One of our predecessor companies put a large reheat furnace in. It was an $80 million project back in early 2010. So there's a lot, Steelton has good bones, you know, so it's just, hopefully we'll be back and be able to resume our operation and maintain that continually operating steel mill in the country.
I hope that is the case, Don, not just for you and not just for your son and the 550 others who are going to be struggling for a while through this. But,
sure.
You know, it's not a partisan issue to want more manufacturing in the United States.
Correct.
Certainly, you're one of the steel experts. How do we achieve that?
Well, I think a lot of stuff, you really got to invest in domestic manufacturing as a whole, not just, tariff policy or whatever. With the whole U.S. steel Nippon deal, you know, Nippon's agreed to invest $14 billion in U.S. steel facilities. Well, where are the American companies that are doing that? You know, why aren't American companies willing to invest money? Why does it take a foreign company to want to invest? You know, we should be able to invest in our manufacturing facility, invest in the current manufacturing facilities that we have to be able to expand the manufacturing, and then try to worry about, you know, expanding manufacturing. I think if you worry about all the current manufacturing facilities first, I think more manufacturing will come back based on that.
If you all at the plant could have anything you wanted. Let's say you could go straight to the president, the Congress, whoever you needed to talk to. What would you ask for to keep Steelton in good working order and leading not only this area in terms of manufacturing, but the country and the world?
That's a tough one.
Everybody has a wish list.
Well, our original wish list when things were going really, really good was we wanted a new rail mill. The Cleveland Cliffs was in planning stages to install an $850 million rail mill in Steelton. Because modern rail, when they make rail, it's 100 meters long. So that's a long piece of rail. Ours are 86 feet. So the 86 feet rail have to be welded to make the 100 meters. So they were going to make a 100-meter rail mill facility in Steelton, and then at the last minute, it got pulled. You know, whether it was market conditions, that was a couple of years ago. It was never 100% official, but it was just what we were being told and what they were working towards. But that'd be what our wish list would be, is give us a new rail mill. Somebody wants to come in and make rail in the United States. We got the great infrastructure to do it. Just need a new mill. And there's other projects they talked about before that wouldn't cost that much. But, you know, we've heard ones that, you know, $150, $200 million could really upgrade Steelton and bring us into the 20th century, not even the 21st century.
Yeah. I wonder if those decisions were made by the company because there's been a decline in manufacturing, which has led to a sort of a shift in expansion plans.
Yeah. Unfortunately, too, it's like, foreign steel is cheaper. I mean, they don't have the environmental protections. They don't have the unions. It's cheaper labor. It's dirty, but it's cheaper. And that's what everybody wants. Everyone's cheaper steel.
But in the end, isn't it more expensive because it's harder to work with and labor costs, you know, are a large part of that equation. So when it's costing you a lot more because it's taking longer to work with the bad stuff, you know, doesn't that wash out? I can't believe we don't win in the end.
I guess not, because there's people smarter than me to figuring this stuff out. So, I mean, businesses do their due diligence and figure out what's best for their bottom dollar and their shareholders. And, you know, sometimes the worker gets screwed in the end.
Speaking of that, what are you going to do after June 30th?
Fortunately, unfortunately for me, I'm in a position at the plant where I'm a sort of a key in a key department that I will probably have my job after June 30th. I'll be on the crew that's left behind to maintain the place.
How big a crew will that be?
We heard 20 or so. It's not many. Most of them are all going to be maintenance people. We have our plant set up weird, being an old Bethlehem Steel facility. So there's another company at the bottom of Steelton that's not us. It's another company called Durabond. We actually supply electricity to them through the plant, since it was all one big plant. So we need to be able to maintain that as to not affect their operations.
So if anybody has seen, or if you've been inside a steel plant, you know, this is a huge, huge thing. You're going to have 20 guys in there holding everything together.
Not only that, you know, it's sort of open, I'm going to say open to the public, but I mean, it's very easy to sneak onto that place. So it's, you know, yeah, we got to sort of maintain a presence just to, you know, keep everything ready so that if Cliffs or whoever wants to resume operations, that we can do that quickly and effectively. You know, make sure the equipment stays good and ready to go.
Yeah. It's a terrific, you know, steel town. You got the river right there. You got a tremendous facility with so much history behind it and such talent in this area to be able to do that kind of work. You know, it's absolutely really a prime spot for somebody to come in and really start doing great business again. And, you know, when you hear people talking about expanding our rail services, which is one of the big things, I know it's not the only thing you do. You have your hands in a lot of different businesses, but, you know, it just seems like this is not the time to be shutting down. It seems like the time for investment and moving forward.
And we're hopeful. We're hopeful with that. You know, we're doing everything we can. We're talking to whoever we can talk to, whether it's representatives, congressmen, senators, you know, governor's office, whoever, and whoever wants to come in and talk to us, we're our union hall's open. Our president's been talking to everybody that will listen to us. So hopefully the future will come back and resume operations.
Boy, I hope you're right, Don, not just for you and your family and your son and his family, you know, but just for everybody in this area. It's such an important part of the fabric of who we are.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, you know, I'm one of the, they did interviews with like local businesses in Steelton, like even like Naples Pizza, right on Front Street in Steelton. He said they have about 40 to 50 people a day from the mill come in there for lunch. So that's going to be like, it's going to impact them. Like those little food trucks down on Steelton, they're all going to be impacted.
Oh, I know. The mill dies, all those businesses go with it. We've seen this story before, and it's not a good one.
Unfortunately, yes.
You are pretty safe in your job, and at least for the moment, kind of keeping things running. I hope I didn't just put the kibosh on you. But what, you know, 500 people is a lot of people. We're talking about the businesses maybe being forced to shut down if nobody's having lunch there, et cetera, et cetera. You know, get your tires fixed nearby, whatever.
Right.
What are the rest of the folks going to be doing? What's your son going to be doing?
I told him start applying to like trade union apprenticeships. So he's working on that. He applied for an apprenticeship at my brother-in-law's an electrician at an electrical contractor. He applied there. That's what I told him to work on. I told him to work on applying for apprenticeships through labor unions, stuff like that. Cause he's still fairly young. He's 26. But yeah.
IBEW, another good, strong union in this area.
Yeah, I reached out to some labor contacts that I have about getting him, if he can pass it, if he can get in the apprenticeship there too.
Right. So it's not like everybody is going to get a big golden parachute out of the steel plant and can live off that for the rest of their lives, or if they choose to do something. And nobody's waiting around. I mean, is there a chance this will be closing forever, or is it just indefinitely for now?
Well, we don't know. My personal view is I think we'll be back. I mean, the steel mill is not too important, but it's it's a good operation. I think somebody will see the value in that at some time. Unfortunately, like I think a lot of the skilled people are the ones that we're going to miss, you know, the electricians, the millwrights, iron workers, things like that, because they'll find other employment. You know, it's just they're in demand.
That's a lot of talent, and we have a lot of, you know, other great things for them to be doing. So it's actually a real loss for the steel plant if they can't retain that amount of talent. Well, sure. You know, you do challenging work in the best of times. This is not something that's super easy. So when you take that kind of brain drain and talent drain and move them somewhere else, I guess, though, there will always be a next generation hungry for the kinds of jobs the steel mill provides.
Sure, absolutely.
Anything else you'd care to share about what's going on, Don?
No. I think, hopefully we'll keep the steel in Steelton, and we'll get back to it.
Amen, brother. Wishing you and everybody at the plant all the best for your futures. You certainly, again, it's just an important job. It's important not just for this area and the economy. It's important for the rest of the country and the world. What you make, you know, I feel like you built this country, and we owe you a debt in some form or another. And it's certainly not closing down the plant that built the country.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Don Teets, thank you so much for joining us today. And again, wishing you and everybody else all the best.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.